thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
We're continuing with our Year in the Psalm series. And the book of Psalms, it's a song book. It's a worship book. It's like a hymnal, so to speak. And I remember growing up, we would sing songs from the hymnals. Anybody remember that? Before there were projectors, we had hymnals. And you know, I didn't know all the hymns. There are people who attended church for a long time. They would know if you say hymn number 3, they know, holy, holy, holy. Like, they knew everything. They knew all the words. And then sometimes I would open up to a hymn, and they'll have like 7 verses, right? You know, those long hymns. And I'm asking, like, are we going to sing all 7 verses, you know? And sometimes they'll have tick marks. So you'll sing, like, verse 1, skip 2 and 3, and sing 4 and 5. So I used to like the tick marks. And today's psalm is one of those longer psalms. It's not as long as Psalm 119, but it is a long psalm. It goes up to verse 45. Right, so we're not going to have tick marks when I read it, but we're going to pay attention to the beginning and the end, but we will go through the psalm because the psalm talks about the history of how God is faithful. So I don't think it'll be good if we skipped over that. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Psalm 105. And if you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 105. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced. You, His servants, the descendants of Abraham, His chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the promise He made for 1,000 generations, the covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When there were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, He rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And He sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. Till what He foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel entered Egypt. Jacob resided as a foreigner in the land of Ham. The Lord made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them, his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark. For had they not rebelled against his words, he turned their waters into blood, causing their fish to die. Their land teemed with frogs, which went up into the bedrooms of their rulers. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He turned their rain into hail with lightning throughout their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, grasshoppers without number. They ate up every green thing in their land, ate up the produce of their soil. Then he struck down all the firstborn in their land, the first fruits of all their manhood. He brought out Israel, laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left, because dread of Israel had fallen on them. He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail. He fed them well with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for these words. As we look to your faithfulness recorded here, Father, we ask that you transform us from the inside out. Holy Spirit, do your work. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. I do not have my clicker. So I remember when my wife and I were first married, before we had children, we used to live by a grocery store that was walkable. And so on a nice day, I would go for a nice long walk. And I looked forward to these walks. And I remember my wife asked me to get some tomatoes. And of course, being the smart guy that I am, I don't write things down. So I didn't have a shopping list with me. And I got distracted walking to the supermarket, distracted by the beautiful weather. And I walked in, and I saw all these new products that came out at the supermarket. So I loaded up the cart, and I was in a good mood, and I just walked home. And I said, honey, I'm home. And lo and behold, I bought everything except for the tomatoes that I needed to buy. And you would have thought that I would have learned a lesson, like I should write things down. And still to this date, I'm not really good at writing things down. Although, I think it's important to write things down, amen? No matter how good your memory is. I don't know, as I'm getting older, I'm thinking, my memory's slightly going, you know? But we need to write things down. We need to write things down because we live in a world where we're distracted by so many things, and eventually it catches up to us, especially what God is doing in our own lives. I wonder, do you guys write things down when God is moving in your life? As I was thinking about this, it reminded me of a movie. I'm not endorsing this movie, by the way. But there's a movie called, what's the movie called now? I forgot, and I didn't write it down. Oh, it's called Memento. There you go. There's a movie called Memento, and it's about a guy who gets into an accident, so he loses the ability to retain any new memory. So anything that prior to the accident, he remembers everything. But anything new, he would forget almost immediately. And he's trying to solve a problem of who killed his wife. And so what he would have to do is he would have to write things down everywhere, because when he wakes up in the morning, he starts the day all over, having forgotten everything. But he's leaving clues behind. And so he would write it on post-it notes, and he would put tattoos all over his body so that he would remember. And the movie, it is an interesting story, but he's trying to figure out, and every day he learns new clues, so he would tattoo it on his body when he finds new clues. Or he'll take Polaroids and leave notes on it. And so that's the importance of writing things down, you know? And so the question is, like, why should we remember? Why do we need to remember what God has done in our life? And I think that's a very important question for us to remember, to know is, you know, we need to write things down. We need to remember what he has done. And so today's text, Psalm 105, actually chronicles from Genesis to Joshua what God has done. And it's, like I said, it's a longer psalm, so we're not going to look at verse by verse every verse in this psalm, but loosely you could categorize it, or you could separate it into six different parts. And because we're Beacon and we're promoting Beacon Blue, I'm showing you the six different shades of blue here to outline Psalm 105. So the first section is verses 1 through 6, and it's a call to praise and remembrance. Okay, so that's the first part. And then the second part goes back and it looks at the promise God made with Abraham. The covenant God made with Abraham is the second part of the psalm. And then the third talks about God's protection. God's protection of Israel even before Israel was a nation. The fourth part is the story of Joseph. At the end of Genesis, there's a story of Joseph. And in the story of Joseph, we really learn what providence is all about. Right? Because Joseph's life, it starts great, and then everything falls apart, right? But in the suffering, he learns, and God uses his suffering to not only bless him and his family, but a whole nation. The commentator Allen said, through this, is we learn that the path to glory comes through suffering, which really points to Jesus, because glory came to Jesus through suffering. And the suffering is something that we always deal with in our own lives, don't we? You know, when I speak to non-believers, many of them question, like, why is there suffering? If God is a loving God, why is there suffering in the world? Well, we live in a fallen world, and when you read through Scripture, we learn over and over again that the path to glory comes through suffering. And that the life that we're living here is not the end. But glory is there at the end. And so the story of Joseph talks about that. Actually, Tim Keller actually says this concerning suffering. Don't grow angry in suffering, he said. Learn how to live in the midst of it by trusting, praying, fellowshipping, weeping, and hoping. And I think some of us needed to hear that today. In our suffering, let's learn to live by trusting in him, praying, fellowshipping, weeping, and hoping. And just by hearing that, we realize what? That we don't go through suffering alone. We need a community. So just look around you. This is our community. God is calling us to walk together, whether we're going through a joyous occasion or whether we're going through a difficult time. We are not called to go through this alone. Amen? So if you're suffering, I want to encourage you to reach out to your brothers and sisters. You know, we are a family. God calls us to be a family in Christ. So we are all brothers and sisters, like I mentioned a couple weeks ago. Then the fifth part of the psalm is God delivering Israel from the bondage of Egypt. And I don't know if you caught that, but 8 of the 10 plagues were listed here when I was reading through that. And basically, God delivers Israel to the promised land. And then the last set of verses talks about the purpose for God saving his people. Like, why did God save Israel? Why did God save his people? And so we'll be looking at that. And so today we're going to really focus on the first section, which is the call to worship, and which is verses 1 through 6. And then we'll see what God has done throughout history, and then we will end with the why section. And so with that, let's keep our Bibles open and let's look. So it's call to praise and remember is how it begins. Okay, it starts by saying, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Okay, so in this first verse alone, we see all these verbs. And actually, in this section, there are 9 verbs that talks about worship. Okay, so let's look at these 9 verbs. So it starts by saying, give praise. Or some translations will say, give thanks to the Lord. So when we worship God, we have to come with a thankful heart. No matter what's happening in your life, do you have a thankful heart? Usually I have a thankful heart when things are going well. But when life is hard, when there's suffering, like I talked about earlier, it is so hard to be thankful. And when you're feeling that way, I want to challenge you. Give thanks to the Lord. Don't make it about you. Let's make it about God. Amen? So when you make things about God, when God is the center, and he should be the center of our worship. So when we gather to worship, it should be all about God and not about us. You know? But it's so hard because life is real. You know, things aren't happening. I'm stressed out. God, I've been praying for this same prayer. I've been praying the same prayer over and over again, and I feel like you're not answering my prayers. Nothing is turning out the way I want. If you have that attitude and you walk into worship, then the worship, it's hard to make it about God. You could say you're making it about God. God, you know, but then you're making it about you when you say, God, why is this not happening? Why me? Turn that around. God calls us his children. That's already, we should be thankful for that. We have a home. We have this beautiful family that we call church. Man, praise God for that. Let's just turn things around. Let's make it about God. Amen? So give thanks to the Lord. Let's enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, as scripture says. We enter into his courts with praise. We praise God for who he is. And then it says, proclaim his name. Call upon his name. Call upon his name. Proclaim his name. That's letting people know that's worshiping, right? Worship. We're calling upon his name. That's an act of worship. Call upon his name. We proclaim his name. His name is the most important thing in our lives. It's his name. It's his character. It's God. And then it says here to make known among the nations what he has done. Right? So this is all worship. Right? So it's not just the responsibility of missionaries to make known among the nations what he has done. But it's all of our responsibility, and this is also an act of worship. So it's not about Gretchen being out there in the mission field and we're supporting her, so yay. No, we're all responsible to make known among the nations what he has done. Are you talking about what he is doing in your life, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to your brothers and sisters here in church. I would love to see more of that. Hey, this is what God's doing in my life. This is who God is. Right? In verse 2, it says to tell of his wonderful acts. So they go together, hand in hand. You know? Tell of his wonderful acts. And if you don't have anything to say what's happening in your life, well then share something that you read in the Bible. Hey, I read the Bible and this is what God promised us. Tell of his wonderful acts. Amen? Yeah. And then he says to sing to him, sing praise to him. Ever wonder why we sing so many songs on Sundays? Or not enough? I forget who I was talking to, but I remember in the old days, my old church, we used to sing, I want to say, 9 or 10 songs in a worship service. And I was a worship leader back then, and I thought, man, it's not enough. You know, I was making it about me, though. We need to sing 12 songs. Well, the pastor is up there for an hour. I should be up there for an hour. You know, that's when I didn't really know what worship was about. But singing, music is very powerful. What kind of music you listen to, what kind of music you sing makes a difference in your life. The songs that we sing. Music is very powerful, like I said. Do you ever like hear an old song and it just brings back memories of the first time when you heard that song, right? It has this ability to bring us back and make us remember certain things. Right? And worship music, hymns, has that same effect. Actually, a lot of the songs that we sing come straight out of Scripture. We're singing the Word of God. It actually helps us to memorize Scripture. Scripture, memorizing Scripture is always a challenge, I know, in a church. Whenever we have a Bible memory challenge, it's just so hard. But interestingly, music has the ability to make things stick. And we sing songs, and a lot of times we're singing songs, we don't even know we're singing Scripture. But we are singing Scripture. As a matter of fact, in our Bible study, we were looking at Ephesians 5 this past Wednesday. And part of the passage we looked at is verses 18 through 20, where the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit." Sing and make music from your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Isn't that just, I just love it when whatever we're studying coincides with the sermon. And it fits like a glove, doesn't it? Giving thanks to the Lord, giving thanks to the Father. Make music from your hearts to the Lord. Singing is not just lip service. It comes from the heart. Worship is not just outward acts, but it starts from our heart. Heart of thanksgiving to the Lord. Heart of wanting to make him known. Telling all the wonderful acts. This is all worship. And then in verse 3, it says, glory in his holy name. Glory. What does it mean? Glory in his holy name. That means you make his name the most important thing. You treasure God. His name needs to be the most important thing in our lives. Whether at work, whether at home, whether at church when we're praying. Even the baseball game that's coming up. Recreation. Are we making his name the most important thing? Even when we're eating, in our marriages, for those of us who are married, in our studies, for those of us who are students. Everything that we do, whether we're resting or working, all of life should be lived for the glory of His name. Amen? Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice, filled with joy. Are you joyful today? That's a command. Rejoice. How do we rejoice? Well, we start by seeing what God has done, by glory in His holy name, by telling. I don't know about you, when I hear God's stories, it really lifts my soul. Tell people about what God's doing in your life, and you're going to lift someone's soul, you know? Rejoice in that. We already have here, how many verbs do we have in these three verses? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, already 7 here. And then he continues, look to the Lord and His strength. We got to look to God, and we have to seek His face always. Look to the Lord for His strength. Seek His face always. If you have your ESV Bibles with you, you'll notice instead of saying look to the Lord, it says seek the Lord and seek His face. So look and seek. What does that mean to seek His face? Longing for His presence. Seeking His face means longing for His presence in our lives. He is with us. Also reminds me of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what does it say? And all these things shall be added unto you. What do we need to do? Seek His kingdom first and His righteousness. Seeking also has the idea of prayer, right? When you're seeking God, you're praying. So prayer is also a big part of worship. Right? We shouldn't say, let's worship and pray. You know, it's when we pray, we're worshiping. And then the last verb here says, remember. Remember the wonders He has done. Remember His miracles and the judgment He pronounced. The wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgments. Well, for us, it's all in Scripture. So the only way we can remember things is we need to read things, read His word. We need to write things down. If you're not a journaling person, I want to challenge you to find a different way to write something down. You could do the bullet journal. Have you heard of that? Bullet journals? Yeah. That's a good way to start. Just put in bullet points. Even as you're reading through Psalm 105, you're going to see all these things God has done. Just put it in bullet points. Write it down. And we remember what He's done. So, in the middle of suffering, you could see that God is with you. You could see that God is at work. It may not make any sense at all to you or me or to us as a community. But when you trust in God and when you look at what was recorded in Scripture and see how God worked things out, or if you know how God is going to work things out at the end, then it doesn't really matter what the middle chapters are like. Because we know how it ends. We know how it ends. And that's all that matters. Amen? Yeah. So let us remember His works. And then He says, you His servants, the descendants of Abraham, His chosen ones, the children of Jacob. So all this to say, what is He trying to say? Well, He's basically saying, He is the Lord our God. Our God. Our God. That's what we need to remember. Our God. And then he recalls the promise he made with Abraham. So from this section till the last three verses, let's just look at what God has done throughout history. Okay, so I'm just going to highlight what God has done. Okay, I highlighted in red or orange. He remembers his covenant forever. This is God. God remembers his covenant forever. The promise he made, so the promise God made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham. So one way to look at the psalm is everything that we're going to look at, what God does, flows from this covenant he made with Abraham. So he remembers, he made. He confirmed it to Jacob. He allowed no one to oppress the Israelites. He rebuked kings on their account. And even throughout the story of Joseph, we see that he summoned a famine on the land. See that God orchestrated all this. He had sent a man, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. So imagine Joseph when he was sold. Where is God? I'm sure he's not seeing God at all in this. But God sees it. God sees it as him sending Joseph. Isn't that interesting? So all this to say, we don't know. And sometimes we won't know until the very end. Or sometimes we won't even know until after the end. But if you know who God is and you trust in him, that's okay. Amen? We don't need to have all the answers. That's really, I'm preaching to myself. I don't need all the answers. Are you ever stuck sometimes because you don't have all the answers? You're just, I need to know, God, should I do this or not? You know, when God said go, I'm like, I need all the answers. Well, is it going to rain today? But we don't need to know all the answers. When God delivers Israel out, the Lord made his people very fruitful. Right? Even when the Israelites were fruitful, the Lord made this. The Lord made them too numerous for their foes. He turned the hearts of the Egyptians to hate his people. He is the one who sent Moses to deliver them. He sent the darkness. Right? These are the plagues. He sent the darkness. He turned their waters into blood. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies. He gave them hail for rain and fiery lightning bolts. He struck down their vines and fig trees. He spoke, and the locusts came. He struck down all the firstborn. Then he brought out Israel with silver and gold. And in the wilderness, he spread out a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light by night. He opened a rock and water gushed out. And then in verse 42, it says, he remembered his holy promise. You see how that's looping back to the covenant, 7 through 11 verses. He remembered his holy promise and Abraham, his servant. Right. So notice what we just looked at. He spoke. He spread. God did this. God did that. The subject is God. God has done everything. And it's all about God. And so what is the big idea in all this? Well, the big idea is our God saves. He's the one who saves. Salvation belongs to our God. Amen? And what he's trying to do is, he's trying to basically say, you will be my people, and I will be your God. That comes from Jeremiah 30, 22. So when you look out throughout history, and that's what Psalm 105 is doing, it's looking throughout history of Genesis through Joshua, what you see is that God is faithful. That's who our God is. God is powerful, and God is faithful, and God saves. We don't save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Our God saves. In Exodus 19, God says this, well, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So God saying, he's telling Moses, I brought you to myself. We didn't go to God. He brought us to him. God is the one who saves. God is the one who draws us to him. God is the one who is at work. It is our God. And so let's look at the concluding verses a little more carefully now, the three verses. And it's basically addressing why. Why did God draw his people out? Why did God rescue his people and brought them to the promised land? So this answers the question why. In verse 43, it says, so he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing. And he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the fruit of the people's toil. And here it is, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Why did God bring the people of Israel out? That they might keep his statutes and observe his laws, to be a holy nation. He brought his people out so that they would be more like him. He brought his people out so that they may be more like his image, to be his image, to delight in him, to glorify in him, to be a holy nation. He saved us for the same reason, right? So that we could be his people. We could be his holy nation. Let me continue with Exodus 19. Verse 5, it says, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And then it ends with, praise the Lord. Isn't that what it's about? Praise the Lord. In Hebrew, that's hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what it's about, isn't it? Hallelujah. We praise the Lord, why? Because he is faithful. We worship him. We tell about him. We sing songs from our hearts. We glory in his name. We make known his works. We worship him. in spirit and truth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, church, what is God calling you to remember? I challenge you today to write it down. Write it in your Bibles. And during the difficult times, let me challenge you to read through that. There's actually an app that I used about 10 years ago. I think it's called Pengu. Have you guys heard of Pengu? So it's an online journal. I tried every kind of journaling because I'm not a journaling guy. But this Pengu, what it does is it will randomly send you a note in the future. So I'm getting journaling that I did 10 years ago. And I get an email. I got an email the other day. It says, hey, this is what you wrote 10 years ago. And so I look at it, and it's just telling me all, just basically, I was pouring out my heart in the journal and the struggles that I was going through at that time, like, and my prayers with God. It just all came up. And when I look back 10 years, it's like, wow, God, you've delivered me out of this. Like all those things that were just keeping me up at night, 10 years looking back, is like, why did I stay up all night, you know? And I can tell you why, because in all that, I didn't fully trust in God. There was a part of me that said, I have to take care of this problem. I was trying to solve problems that I couldn't. And that's why I was up at night, you know. And then over the 10 years, I've learned to let go. And then, so 10 years, looking back, I'm like, wow, thank you, God. Right? So even if I'm feeling the same way right now, I can look back and I can thank God for what he did 10 years ago, how he heard my prayers and how he changed me, not my circumstances, but he changed me. Amen. And I believe when we pray to God, that's what God does. A lot of times he doesn't change our circumstance, but he changes you. And that's because he loves you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing even now. So if you're going through a hard time, if you're suffering, know that God loves you. Know that he hears you. And I know in the future you're going to look back and you're going to see God in the midst, even when it seems like he's not there. Amen? And what is our response to this? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say that with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's say that again. Hallelujah. Let me invite you to rise. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for hearing us. And thank you for saving us, oh God. You've saved us, not because of what we've done, but because of who you are. Jesus, we thank you for receiving glory through the ultimate suffering. Thank you for coming here on earth, and you lived the perfect life that we couldn't live. And you died the death that we deserve so that we may be called children of God. So I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice would know you as Lord and Savior. And if not, Holy Spirit, would you do your work? Help us to experience your love. Help us to know in the depths of our souls how much you love us, how you died for us, Jesus. And Lord, forgive us for not worshiping you the way we ought to. Help us to be thankful always. Help us to trust you always. And in the midst of suffering, may we be a community that cries together, that encourages one another. And may we walk together, Lord, as you have called us to. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. And all God's children said, amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.